It's All Things Considered, and I'm Dave Lawrence. Today we are welcoming a gifted guitarist who is known as much for his versatile playing as his diverse resume. Experiences with Joni Mitchell, Miles Davis, George Harrison, those music heavyweights, and others, part of Robin Ford's fascinating background. He and the band that did his recent Purple House album will be playing the Blue Note tomorrow and Thursday, and it's a treat to welcome Robin Ford now. Hey, Robin, thanks for doing this.
Well, thanks a lot, Dave. Happy to be here.
There's a lot of people curious about this, Robin. I was down at the post office the other day, and the guy behind the counter, Bert, was like, "Oh, I can't wait to see Robin Ford. Are you going to get him on the show?" And I hadn't had this.
Oh, nice.
But I said, "I don't have anything lined up, but I'm working on it." And something Bert was curious about was Joni Mitchell. Can you tell us the story how, and I know it's part of your early days too, how you got hooked up with her?
Well, I was seen by two different members of what at that time had become the LA Express, which was a group of studio musicians who just started playing together to have some fun. Tom Scott, those guys. And they were looking for a guitar player for their group to back Joni Mitchell. And so I got a call one day. I was just leaving Jimmy Witherspoon, so it was amazing timing, like literally the day I was leaving Jimmy Witherspoon, I got a telephone call from Tom Scott, whom I didn't know who he was, and Larry Carlton had been the guitar player, but he and the keyboard player, Joe Sample, who were both with the Crusaders, had commitments with the Crusaders, so they couldn't do the tour with Joni. So they went looking for another guitar player and keyboard player. So I didn't know anybody in the band, and I certainly hadn't been listening to Joni Mitchell because I was into blues and jazz. So Tom said, "Let me bring a couple of acetates by," which was the first LA Express album, and Court and Spark, and neither had been released. And we listened to them together, and I was invited to come play with the group, see if it was a nice fit. I went down, did that, and I was invited to do the tour.
Now you look back, is that something you really are extremely grateful for, the fortuity and the timing? You're right, and especially back then in that time of when there wasn't even cell phones and stuff. I mean, talk about...
Well, that just shows you how important cell phones are.
Right. That's a good point.
That rolled into the George Harrison tour, and then 76, we were out again on the Hissing of Summer Lawns album.
Were those challenging to do those tours? Were there lessons you picked up along the way with that?
Well, it was, you did use the word grateful, which indeed I am extremely grateful for those experiences, and I always felt like, I can't believe these guys have hired me, you know, but they saw something, you know, that they felt could be developed, and, you know, it all worked out really well. And I always like to say that I learned more during that 2 years with Joni Mitchell than at any other period in my life before or since. And when I joined the group, I was 21. I think, you know, the 76 tour, I was 24, something like that. So it was just an amazing time, and so many doors were open to me, and I got tremendous amount of exposure through that. It led directly to, you know, a record deal with Elektra Asylum Records, and I did my first album for Elektra.
And when you'd have Russell and the gang backing you.
Yeah, the group that became the Yellow Jackets later, yeah. It was a great beginning. I mean, the whole thing, you know, was... It was amazing because I'd never traveled first class. I'd never had any money. I had never played with great musicians. And I was spending a lot of time. When we were off the road, I was staying with Tom Scott, Reed player, with the group. And Tom was, you know, not only a first call studio musician, but also was writing for television. And, I mean, these guys were L.A. They were the cream of the crop of the Los Angeles studio musician, studio scene. So I was living at Tom's whenever we were off the road. And, you know, we'd spend a lot of time in his studio, him on the piano, me on guitar, me on the piano, him on saxophone, listening to Indian music, listening to Stravinsky, Ravel. This was just, you know, really mind and eye-opening,
right,
you know, for me.
I get it. And in the same year, it may have gone by people when you said it, but in the same year that you worked with Joni and have your eyes open like you're describing with that gig, you did the George Harrison gig, came at the same time, correct? Same year, basically.
Yeah.
How does one of the Beatles decide to hire you to be in his band?
Well, We played in London for two nights, and Tom Scott had done a record with Ravi Shankar and George Harrison for Dark Horse Records. It was George Harrison's label.
Right.
And Ravi Shankar and Friends, which was cut in Los Angeles with Indian musicians and L.A. studio musicians. Tom was kind of musical director of the Western band, and as opposed to the Eastern being the Indian band.
Right.
So he was acquainted with George. You know, he and George got along great, and George, you know, asked him to put together the band for his 74 Dark Horse tour. So he came to see us with Joni Mitchell in London. I met him there. We hung out that evening, and the next day went out to Henley-on-Thames and spent the day and way into the next morning out there. Recorded a couple of tracks, which were on the album, Dark Horse. And then he invited me to do the tour. So there I was, you know, playing with Billy Preston and Jim Keltner and Willie Weeks and Ravi Shankar. I mean, it was, you know, pretty wild.
Oh, my God.
'70s. So, you know, very interesting times and, you know, another rare opportunity that had its downside. It was a lot of chaos around that. Things were out of control in the '70s, man, in rock and roll. But in any case, that also gave me a lot of exposure and, you know, things kept going from there.
And I guess the same way that you learned from both working with Joni Mitchell and George Harrison, who else would you credit with really, I guess, impacting your career and sort of shaping you as a player?
Jimmy Witherspoon, the blues singer. That was my first real crack into the you know, like something beyond basically, you know, homespun, you know, playing with my brothers, etc. Great blues singer, passed away, you know, 15 years ago, I think, something like that. But, you know, he got his start with Count Basie. So that was some roots. Then later, Miles Davis. That was 1986 when I worked with Miles. And that, you know, was a true honor. Also, not exactly a learning experience per se, although I did pick up on a couple of musical devices that, you know, infiltrated my playing for a good while there as a rhythm player and harmonically. But just that vote of confidence to have Miles Davis dig your playing. And when I left the band, you know, I loved him, but everything around him was kind of chaotic, uncomfortable. Management didn't treat the band right. And I had just signed to Warner Brothers to do my Talk to Your Daughter album. So I left. And when I said goodbye to him after the last show, he just said, if you ever want to come back, you just come back. So that was a big compliment.
From him,
you know,
big time.
That was something. And so those are the things that I'm excited about, you know, or proud of. You know, certainly the time with Joni Mitchell, that was awesome. Working with Jimmy Witherspoon, you know, also to be able to have spent some time with one of the greats, historical greats, you know, in the blues. And then basically there's no more, you know, important jazz musician than Miles Davis in jazz.
You did a thing with Dizzy too, right?
Well, I was on a thing that went to Japan. It was a group of, I mean, it was an amazing lineup. It was a big festival. I was part of a kind of an all-star band. Dizzy Gillespie had a group. Benny Goodman was on it with a group. Illinois Jacquet. It was ridiculous, actually. the lineup and the band that I was in was the Brecker Brothers, Freddie Hubbard, Joe
Whoa.
Henderson,
Whoa.
Joe Farrell, George Duke, Alfonso Johnson, Peter Erskine, and me. So
unreal, huh?
Yeah, this is heavy company.
It sure was, and a great spot to leave it.
Yeah.
Robin Ford, our guest tomorrow and Thursday at the Blue Note, and sharing incredible stories today. We appreciate it, Robin. Thank you.
My pleasure, Dave. Thank you. See you in Hawaii.
Say goodbye to your little underdog. No more run and catch. Things you throw my way. The collar's off. Take good care of yourself. We're bound for glory, but there's a price to pay. I bet you can't.